Now, Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Can we give God praise one time? Hallelujah. Can we give Miss Amy a huge hand? I'm going to have to start just letting her preach in the mornings. And I'll just do worship for y'all. She'll be your pastor. But listen, she helps me out so much. And I just want to say thank you to her. She comes and she prepares and she gets ready just the way that I do. And I so appreciate everything that she does for me. I appreciate everybody that comes early and sets up, those that do the cafe, those that are greeters. But you know what? There's always room for one more. So if you want to be a part of that, make sure to be here for our growth track and let's find out where you need to fit in. If you understand me, say, I do. Now, if you're taking notes today, and I've always been one to take notes because usually when I walk outside of the door, my brain just goes blank. So I've got to have something in front of me in order to remember stuff. So if you're taking notes, you can title this today, How Do I Forgive? Now, some of y'all are going, ooh. Some of you are going, well, I got that down pat. Well, you maybe you do, maybe you don't. But we're going to find out today because you may say, I've got that down pat. But then every time that you see that person, that thing wells up in you and going, I've forgiven them, but I still don't like them. And all of a sudden, those old feelings start. And Amy reminded me of something earlier this week. We start reliving those moments. Let me tell you something. When you start reliving the moments, that means that you probably haven't forgiven them. If you relive it every time you see them, that means that there's a problem there. There's something going on there. So today is all about how do I forgive? Turn to the person next to you and say, I forgive you. Husbands, you better make sure to say it loud, okay? No, I'm kidding. Wives, don't grit your teeth while you say it either, okay? But forgiveness is a subject we hear about a lot in the church, right? We hear about it a lot in the church. We hear about how Jesus forgives us. We hear about how we're supposed to forgive others. But the thing is, I've got a little story about forgiveness. A little story I want to read you real quick. It's called The Insulting Parrot. This one, you don't really need to take notes on. Okay, but this is The Insulting Parrot. It says, a woman bought a parrot for a pet. And all the parrot did was treat her bad. It insulted her every time she tried to pick it up. It would peck at her arm. One day she got fed up with that parrot. I mean, it's sort of like we get fed up with our kids every now and then. No, I'm kidding. But she got fed up with that parrot, and as it was insulting her, she picked it up. And it continued to say insults to her. It'd be saying, ah, you're ugly. Ah, you smell funny. Ah, you're cross-eyed. Ah, this is the reason why you ain't married. And sitting there just going off on this woman, just saying, you're ugly. I can't stand you. And it pecked at her arm and brought blood to the surface as she carried it. She finally got so tired of it, she took that parrot, opened the freezer door, and threw the parrot in and shut the door. She was so tired of that parrot. And inside of that freezer, you could hear the parrot go, ah, what are you doing? Ah, why are you doing this? Ah, I hate you. For about 5 or 10 seconds, then all of a sudden, everything got really quiet. And she didn't hear anything, and all of a sudden, she panicked. She went, oh my gosh. Oh no, I have completely killed this parrot. I have frozen him to death. Now, he can't freeze in 10 seconds. But she's sitting there thinking, he has suffocated. He has died. Something is wrong. And so she opened the refrigerator door. And as she opened that door, she slung it open. And the parrot is just sitting there, blinking at her. And all of a sudden, she hears a parrot say, I'm so very sorry. I apologize for my bad behavior. And I promise you that there will be no more of that. From now on, I will be respectful and an obedient parent. She said, well, okay, well, I forgive you. Apology accepted. And the parent said, thank you. Thank you so much, young lady. I'm so glad that you have forgiven me. And he said, might I ask you one important question? She said, absolutely. What would you like to ask me? He looked back at the freezer. Look back at her. What did the chicken do? I know it was a stretch to work that into the message, but it was too funny to leave it. Okay. She forgave that parrot. Listen, our main purpose on this earth as Christians is to share with others that Jesus came to die on a cross for their sins, right? Our main purpose is to share that Jesus came and died for every single person that we run into. His whole reason for doing that was so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he doesn't hold it against us anymore? He doesn't sit there and wonder or lord it over us. His great love for us is the reason he is able to forgive us for the things that we have done. Psalm 86:5 says, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you." That tells me it doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how deep your sin goes. Doesn't matter how far back it goes. You know, I was thinking about another message that I was working on the other day. It came across my mind that our past does not determine what our future is going to be like. Our past does not determine how much God loves us. It doesn't matter what we did in our past. It has no control over God. It has no control over his love, and it has no control over us. Why? Because it's in the past. We don't have to deal with it anymore. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." One last scripture before I move on. Colossians 1:13 and 14 says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." See, the problem is a lot of times we can't forgive ourselves. That's really the one that we really got to forgive. But then there are some others that do us harm. Any of y'all ever had somebody do you wrong? Yeah. No, I got both hands and a foot, okay? I've had people do me wrong. I've had things go wrong. But the thing is, God loves each and every one of us so much that he is willing to sacrifice his son just so we could be forgiven and they could be forgiven. Now, see, we're good with us being forgiven, but sometimes we get mad about they get forgiven. When it comes down to forgiving others, we have an issue sometimes that we forget about. And I'm jumping way ahead in my notes. I know that, but we have an issue in the fact that we're okay with when we go to God with our sins, we say, "God, give me grace." But when we go to God with other people's sins against us, "God, give me justice." You can't have it both ways. Now, yeah, there's times where I look and I go, "I hope God smacks you in the..." I try not to, but I'm a human being. Okay. Do y'all forgive me for that? You forgive me for being human? See, God loves each one of us. And then that is the extent of his love. He withheld nothing but gave everything for us. But then God had to ruin everything. And I'm being sarcastic. Don't think that I'm saying God's horrible. But God had to go and ruin everything by challenging us to be like him. He challenged us to be like him. And telling us that we had to forgive each other too. Totally against our human nature. Our human nature, when somebody comes up and slaps us, we want to do what? Slap them back. Somebody cuts me off on the street, what do I want to do? I want to cut them off. Somebody hits me, I want to hit them back. Somebody does me wrong, I want to do wrong back to them. Why? Because it is human nature to take care of yourself. It is human nature to stand up for yourself. It's totally against human nature to forgive. But it's something that is a huge part of what we're called to do as Christians. Ephesians 4:32 says this, "Be kind. Be kind to one another." Turn to the person next to you and say, "Be kind to me." Turn to your second choice and say, "I'll be kind to you." Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. As God in Christ forgave you. Let me say that one more time. As God in Christ forgave you. See, when God forgives, He forgives completely. When it's covered by the blood, it's covered completely. There's nothing left standing. There's nothing left uncovered. And this is not one of those shout them down, scream them down, amen, brother, that kind of messages, and I understand that. But I want you to grab a hold of this message, because some of us have forgotten how to forgive those that hurt us. And we end up hanging on to stuff. Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But there is a flip side to that. It says that the measure that you forgive others will also be the measure that God forgives you. There's a battle going on inside of us. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. I mean, some of us get pretty close. Right, Rodney? But no, I'm kidding. But some of us get close, but we all have those situations inside of us where we struggle with those. We struggle with that forgiveness, and we wanna bow up when somebody comes up against us. We wanna stand up for ourselves. We wanna do something that will help us feel better about ourselves. This is where we tend to have a problem sometimes. When it says that we are to forgive others as God forgives us, this is where we get tripped up. This is where we mess up. We know in our heads we're supposed to forgive others, but we tend to hold on to hurts and situations from our past. We may never tell anybody about them, but we've got them deep inside of our heart, deep inside of who we are. And we're sitting, and again, we see those people, and it brings those feelings of inadequacy or those feelings of pain to the surface, the feelings of, well, they shouldn't have done that and they shouldn't have done this. And we start pointing fingers and we start getting mad all over again. Again, what we don't understand is that those hurts and that unforgiveness impacts us whether we like it or not. If we harbor unforgiveness, it has a spiritual effect on you. It has a physical effect on you. And I'm not going to get into that, but I'm going to talk about the spiritual effects that it has on you. Sometimes we don't even know how to forgive. My goal for today is for you to walk out of here with a clear knowledge of how to forgive those from our past. No matter what the offense, there is no place for unforgiveness or bitterness inside of us. There's no place. Somebody say, there's no place. There's no place for it. And we've got to learn how to forgive. So everybody say one more time, how do I forgive? I'm so glad you asked that question. Because the very first thing you got to do is you got to remember that forgive and forget is a myth. Forgive and forget is a myth. It's not real. Everybody's going, well, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're human beings. We remember hurts. We remember pain. I can go through my body right now and I can point to every scar that I've got and tell you where I got it. I can point to three little scars on my knee and tell you I got that when I had an accident when I was ice skating, and I ended up with having to have orthoscopic surgery to look at some cartilage in my knee. I can look at a little dot right here. It's a little patch on my leg that's a little off color, and I can tell you that where I got it, because it hurt so bad, because I was playing with a lighter when I was younger. I'm sure nobody else ever did that when you were little, right? I was playing with a lighter, and I was melting a piece of plastic. And when I did, that piece of plastic fell onto my thumb, and it burnt my thumb. So I went, ow, and I threw the little piece. It was one of those little keychains. It was a keychain, and I threw it up, and it landed on my leg and burned into my leg. So I've got a scar from it. I've got a scar over here on my eye right here that I had 4 stitches in because I was dumb at 2 years old thinking I was going to be Hercules and throw a dresser at my mom because I was mad at her, and I pulled the thing over on me and cut my eye open. I've got a scar that goes way back into my hairline where I was racing a kid around the block and ended up bouncing down the road on my head when I fell off my bicycle and ended up with 37 stitches all the way through my head. They ended up having to do plastic surgery on me. That's why I look so good. I don't need the peanut gallery. No, I'm kidding. They missed more than one spot, I can tell you that. But the thing is, I remember those hurts. I remember what it's like to get turned down for a date. I know that's hard to believe that I got turned down, but I did. I remember what it's like to be broken up with. I remember what it's like to not be chosen for the team on the playground. I remember all of that. Some things are hard to forget. The good things. The first time you hit a home run or you get a touchdown when you're playing ball, you feel good about it. You remember those moments. Your first car. That first kiss. I just lost some of y'all's girl going, ah. You remember those good things, but you also remember the bad things, that first car wreck. Especially if it's a stupid one where you did something stupid. I'm there. That first broken heart or that crush or that first time that someone you love passed away. You remember the hurt. You remember the pain. First time I remember someone passing away was my papa. My papa, my dad's dad. That was the first one I remember. And he was my fishing buddy. I mean, I was in third grade when he passed away. And I remember sitting in Miss McBee's class. And I remember my cousin Josh was also in the class with me. And he got called out of the class and got checked out. And I was like, oh, man, I wish I could get checked out. Next thing you know, I hear him call over the intercom, Miss McBee, will you please send Aaron Argo to the office, please? And I'm like, woohoo, I get to go into home. They load me in the car and they take me over to my papa's house. I'm going, I don't want to go to Granny and Papa's. I want to go home. I got stuff to do. I got some ball to play. I got some basketball to play. I got some dogs to play with. And we get over there and they tell me that Papa had passed away. And all I remember is crying because that was my buddy. That was my friend. That was my fishing buddy. And I remember my mom carrying me around at 3 years old. I used to be a lot smaller, okay? Don't judge me. But she carried me around from room to room. And as she thinking that she would be able to calm me down. But the hurt was so bad that every time she changed rooms, it would just start all over again. I remember that hurt. I remember that pain. Some of you are thinking right now about people, lost loved ones, and people that you have lost over the years, and you think back to the pain that you've had. It gets even worse when things are done to us that hurt us, that cause us grief or pain. Someone who did us wrong, someone who abused us, someone who abused our friendship, someone who used us, someone who turned their back on us in a time of need. That pain gets even worse. Anybody ever been there? We have always heard forgive and forget, but nowhere in the Bible does it tell us forgive and forget. When the Bible tells us, what the Bible tells us to do is simply forgive. Again, I said this verse earlier, Ephesians 4:32. It said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Nowhere in that scripture does it say forget what happened. Nowhere in that verse does it say that I will pluck it out of your brain and take it and put it away. It's a lot easier said than done, but because being human, we want to return the pain. We want to return pain for pain and hurt for hurt, injustice for injustice. We would love, and right now, even in today's culture and in what's going on in Ukraine right now, we want justice to be found. We want when Saddam Hussein was going through his what everything he was doing, or when Osama bin Laden was, we wanted justice. But you know what? The Bible tells us to forgive them the same way that Christ forgave us. We don't want to hear that. The Bible tells us to forgive that abuser who beat us just the same way that Christ forgave us. Christ tells us to forgive that person that stole money from us. Christ tells us to forgive that person who talked about us behind our back. We cannot act on what we want. We can't scream injustice for injustice. We have to follow God's example. Amen? It got awful quiet in here. I know this is a hard message, guys. I know it's one that I wrestled with all day Friday. We cannot act on that. Everywhere in Scripture that we see Christ that we see that Christ never held anything against anybody. He taught constantly that we cannot hold grudges against those that hurt us. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." You're supposed to love those that try to hurt you. You're supposed to pray for those that are trying to harm you. Pray for those that did you wrong. Pray for those that are sitting there talking about you behind your back. Again, if they're talking about you behind your back, the question is, have you lived your life in such a way that your character will defend who you are, where you don't have to say a word? That is the question. Because if you have, then it's a whole lot easier to look at them and say, "That's okay. Lord, bless them and forgive them." Because we understand that our character is going to take care of us. Everywhere in Scripture we see that. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you? Pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not retain anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He delights in steadfast love. He finds joy in forgiveness. He finds joy in looking at you and saying, "You know what? I know that you did not live a righteous life when you were younger, but you know what? I'm happy because I get to forgive you. I get to love you in spite of that. I get to love you in spite of the fact that you cheated on these tests. I get to love you in spite of the fact that you cheated on your family and you did what was wrong. I get to love you in spite of the fact that you have a mouth like a sailor. I still get to love you. And he finds joy in that because he will forgive. But the thing is, we have to receive that forgiveness from him. If you understand me, say, "I do." I'm getting off subject, and I don't want to go off into all that, but nowhere does it say that we have to forget what happened to us. He says, love your enemies, pray for them, reach out to them, but it never says forget. God is the only one that forgets our sins simply because he is God. Hebrews 8:12 says this, "For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." He wipes our slate clean because he's God and he can. Our minds don't work that way. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Once we have a memory, sometimes it can get locked in there. There's memories of things that happened with my kids and things like that are locked in my brain. I will never forget the first moment that Shelby was born. I will never forget being in the hospital and singing a song over her as we're sitting in there. She probably don't even know about it. I'll never forget the fact that the doctor almost got in there a little bit too late with DJ, and he almost hit the floor. Because the nurse said, "Doctor, you better get in here." And they said, "Oh, it's fine. He's over there robing up and everything." He turns around and goes, "Whoa, wait a minute, stop pushing." And he had to run over there to catch him. He was in there a total of like 5 minutes, and we paid him I don't know how much money. Man, that's a good job if you can get it. But the thing is, I remember those things. I remember the hurts as well, though, and it's hard to forget those things. I remember the times when people passed away. I remember when my best friend, I did something stupid and was just having fun with him and got his shirt dirty, and he beat the stew out of me one day. And I remember riding home with my mom going, "He's supposed to be my friend. We were joking. We were kidding around." And I felt betrayed. That was fifth grade or sixth grade. I remember those moments when people have talked about me behind my back and would go and tell other people about how horrible I was. I remember when a student looked at me and said, "I hate you and I'm glad you're leaving." And my heart breaking. I remember those moments. We can't forget all of those things. It doesn't mean that we have to forget those hurts. We're human and we tend to remember hurts. There was a time where I went over to a friend of ours' house. It was called the Hutto House. And I remember he had a fence there. And I had left some tadpoles. Me and a buddy of mine, we had gone into the creek and we were catching tadpoles and all that kind of stuff. And kids don't do that nowadays. They try to catch them on the phone. But I'd left them back behind the fence, so I wanted to go back behind that fence and get them. So I went to go through the fence, and I didn't know that the fence was an electric fence. I grabbed a hold of that thing. Bing! I never forgot that was an electric fence, though. Why? Because I was hurt. And those tadpoles stayed right where they were. I didn't care no more. The memories of those hurts will be there, but it's our choice not to pick them up and use them as a weapon against other people. You remember when you did this to me? You remember when you turned your back on me when I was in need? You remember when you walked away from me? You remember when you used to beat me? You remember when you raped me? You remember when you hurt me? You remember when you turned your back on our family and went to another woman or went to another man? You remember all that? And we hold this stuff up and we go, how dare you? And we hold on to the hurts. And we use them as a weapon to beat the people that we're trying to love. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians 13:5 says this, love keeps no record of wrong. That's the King James Version. Love keeps no record of wrong. There's another story I want to share with you, and I've got to hurry today. It's called The Sands of Forgiveness. It says, the story tells that two friends were walking through the desert. During some point of the journey, they had an argument, and one friend slapped the other one in the face. The one who got slapped was hurt, but without saying anything, he wrote into the sand with his finger, today, my best friend slapped me in the face. They kept walking until they found an oasis where they decided to take a bath. The one who had been slapped ended up getting stuck in the mud. He was near drowning. The one who was slapped was stuck in the mire and started drowning. But the friend who had slapped him saved him. After he recovered from the near drowning, he wrote on a stone, today, my best friend saved my life. The friend who had slapped and saved his best friend asked him, after I hurt you, you wrote in the sand. And now that I save you, you write on a stone. Why do you do it that way? The other friend replied, when someone hurts us, we should write it down in the sand where the winds of forgiveness can erase it away at a moment. But when someone does something good for us, we need to engrave it on a stone where no wind and no memory can ever erase it. Let the wind of forgiveness blow and the sands of forgiveness disappear. Let that hurt disappear today. If you're with me, say I am. We've got to understand, forgive and forget is a myth, but we also have to understand that forgiveness is not permission. See, this is what the ability to forgive does not change the fact that something was done wrong to us. Just because you forgive somebody doesn't give them permission to do it. And that's where, in our minds, we mess up sometimes. Just because you forgive someone does not mean that what they did is okay or that it's okay with you. If I were to walk up and slap Steve on purpose, okay? If I were to walk up and slap him, then if I were to go up and walk up and slap him, then just because I say I'm sorry does not change the fact that I hurt him. And the fact that he says you're forgiven, right? Okay. I'm going to remember that one day. The fact that he says you're forgiven, I forgive you, doesn't mean that I get to slap him again. And it doesn't mean he has to sit there and take it again. See, that's where we get off. We think that if we say, I forgive you, we have to sit and take it, and take it, and take it, and take it, and take it. No, 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 ma'am, no, sir. Somebody comes up to me and slaps me, says, oh, I'm so sorry, and then goes to slap me again. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move. Why? Because I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm going to be hurt on purpose. Just because I forgave them does not mean that I give them permission to continue hurting me. Some of us need to understand, when you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that you've got to stay in that situation. It doesn't tell them, and see, that their mindset is, well, they forgave me last time, they'll forgive me this time. Yeah, we'll forgive, but I'm not going to put myself in a place where I have to forgive you again. I wish I could say it again, but I'm running out of time. Forgiving someone does not mean that you become a doormat to people. We cannot pretend that the offense or hurt never happened, but this will only cause even deeper issues to come into our lives with denial and bitterness. If we just deny, well, I've forgiven it. It's like Amy says all the time. You take a plate and throw it on the ground and it shatters. A glass plate and it shatters. Look down at that plate and say, I'm sorry. It doesn't put the plate back together. That relationship between you and that plate is forever changed. The same thing happens with somebody that hurts you. You can forgive them, but that relationship is not the same. That trust has to be earned back. If you understand me, say I do. Christ never wants us to put ourselves in a situation where we will be hurt time and time again. He gave us brains. We need to use it. Forgiveness is not holding an offense against someone, but trust. Forgiveness is not holding an offense against someone, but trust is a different matter. Proverbs 22:3 says this, and I forgot to write it down in my notes, so if you'll bring it up, JC. It says, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. If you see somebody that is continually hurting you, hide yourself. Keep them at a distance. You don't have to let everybody back into your life to the extent as they were when they hurt you. When we are hurt by people, physically, emotionally, whatever, the fact that we forgive them does not mean we put ourselves right back in a position for them to hurt us again. Matthew 10:6 says, we are to be innocent as doves, forgiving, yet shrewd as serpents, cautious in our relationships with these people. Are you with me? I know this ain't a, come on now. I know it's not that kind of thing. This is one of those teaching moments. Because again, I want you to walk out of here and be able to forgive somebody from 20 years ago that did you wrong. Because we're getting to the reason why I want that. When someone is known to hurt you on a constant basis, don't hold a grudge against them, but you might want to restrict the access to your life that they have. You might be in a relationship that needs to be pruned. The key is not to withhold forgiveness, but to restrict the opportunity for further hurt. Are you with me? Everybody's like, wow, this is deep today. Forgiveness and forgetting is a myth. Forgiving and forgetting is a myth. Remember that forgiveness is not permission, but also that know that forgiveness, realize that forgiveness is not for them, it's for us. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's for me. Forgiveness is for us. The biggest mistake that people make in their lives is thinking that if they hold on to that hurt, they're punishing the other person. They're punishing them. We think that by not forgiving people, we're punishing the person that hurt us. Well, I want them to be guilty. I want them to feel the pain that I felt when they did it to me. I want them to hurt. I want people to look at them wrong, and I'm going to tell everybody what they did, and I'm going to hold on to that hurt, and I'm going to remember it for the rest of my life, and I'm going to make it a part of who I am. I'm going to let it define my relationship with every other person, which is a problem that happens when you hold on to your pain. It starts to affect everything. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Too many times, see, I want them to pay for what they've done. Too many times, the person that we are trying to punish has no idea how we feel and that we haven't forgotten them. We're nothing in their mind anymore. They have forgotten all about the pain. If you went up to them right now and say, you remember doing this to me? Many times they're going to go, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because we're the ones that are hurt, we remember it. Lots of times, even if they do know, they don't care. They're harboring. But harboring forgiveness, this is one of my favorite sayings. Harboring forgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. If you're holding on to your bitterness, it's not doing anything but poisoning your soul. It's doing nothing to them. It's poisoning your relationships, not doing anything to their marriage. It's poisoning your life, not doing anything in them. Forgiving them really benefits you more than anything else. See, unforgiveness, these are the effects or the impact of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness of other people affects so much in our lives. It affects our happiness. When we have unforgiveness towards someone, we are ruled by our emotions and when we encounter them. And we can let our joy be stolen. Again, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for 25 years. And I've been dealing, I still deal with this today in things that I have to watch in myself because I'm human and I can hang on to pains from my past. And I can bring up things from the past. When I see somebody, that feeling, is, when we see somebody that hurt us, that feeling of pain, automatically we relive. I'm sitting there thinking back, and I'll think back to when I busted my head open or when I burnt my leg, and I can literally think back to the pain that I felt at that moment. I can think back to the pain that I felt when my best friend turned his back on me, and him and another guy decided to get into a fight with me and double team me and started beating the stew out of me. I can think back to the days when people would leave me out on purpose because I was a dork, and I'm still a dork, and I understand that. I can think back to those pains that I had, and I still feel those things. But again, I have to understand, I have to forgive them, not for them, but for me. Because it'll steal my joy. It'll steal my happiness. All of a sudden, we're taken back when we see them to that situation and we relive it over and over and over again. If you are still rehearsing the situation in your mind, then that means that there's still some forgiveness to be given. If you're still carrying on a conversation with them in your head, trying to tell them off and trying to come up with the right words to tell them, you did me wrong, this is a situation, trying to come up with those good words that'll shut them up, then that means that there's still some unforgiveness in your heart and you need to let go. Because you're letting them live rent-free in your mind. You're letting them take up space that they do not pay for. It affects our happiness. It affects our other relationships. With unforgiveness, we start comparing everyone else and everyone that we have relationships with to this person, and we expect the same results from them. And this is where we start hurting other people before they hurt us so that we don't get hurt. You ever known somebody like that? We start hurting others before we can get hurt ourselves. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says this: strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Don't let bitterness affect the relationships you have with other people. Don't let your bitterness from your past impact your future. I talked about it last week, about sitting underneath the broom tree because of the root of bitterness. Don't sit there and eat of that bitterness until it tears you up. Because it's good for that root was good for short-term sustenance. But the longer they ate it, the more their stomach churned. And it would end up making them sick. The longer you sit under your tree and eat of that bitterness, you're going to be sick. And we end up bleeding on people that never cut us. We end up hurting others that never drew a knife on us. We end up hurting people that never did anything to us. And we end up ruining relationships that God has ordained and put in our life for a purpose. It affects our relationship with God. When we have unforgiveness and bitterness in our lives, God is going to try to pry it out of us. And you guys can start some music whenever you get ready. His goal for us is to become like Him. And He cannot let those things stand in our lives. If you have bitterness in your life today, God wants to pry it out. For as long as you have bitterness in you, the love of God can only go so far in you. Again, the measure which you forgive others will be the measure you are forgiven. He tells us that our forgiveness is measured out to us. Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We have to learn to let go of the hate and the bitterness inside. Otherwise, we let those people and those situations control our lives. I'm going to read you one last story, and this will be the end. It's simply called forgiveness, a choice, not an emotion. I'm going to read it just as it's written. It says, the following is a true story as retold by Jeannie Mayo in her book, Uncensored, Dating, Friendships, and Sex. It's a longer read than usual, but I definitely encourage you to take a break from studying and read this entirety of the post. This is what it says. Maybe you read it a few years ago in the newspaper. A young college woman, let's call her Molly, was driving home from school from a weekend break when her car died on her. Darkness had already fallen and the gas station was nowhere in sight. So she had no alternative but to stand on the side of the road trying to flag down help from an anonymous passerby. She started to grab her cell phone and let her parents know that she was going to be late. But not wanting to worry them, Molly thought she would wait and call them when she had things figured out. Car after car passed her, seeming to not to see her in the darkness by the side of the road. Finally, a truck pulled up, and two friendly men invited her to jump inside. They seemed more than happy to drive Molly to the nearest gas station so she could get some help. The truck sped away, pointing towards the lights of the distant town. But that's when our story turned sour. They never made it to the town. Minutes inside the truck, the mood seemed to change. They pulled off the main interstate, headlights now beaming down a deserted road. The young woman felt her stomach go into a knot. She struggled to get the words out of the back seat, trying to register her protest. Where are we going? Molly spoke as her voice began to quiver, and no real answer came from the front seat, only a sick kind of laughter. You'll see, muttered one of the men. The details of the story are too horrifying to share. In short, the nightmares of every woman prays to avoid happened that night. The two guys forced the young college student from their truck, and each man raped her brutally, laughing with twisted glee after they had completed their actions. They piled back into their truck, and they left their victim stranded, hemorrhaging from their perverted pleasures. No doubt they were sure that she would bleed to death that night, lost in the dark, wooded area, never to share her story with anyone. But the college student knew what she had to do. She realized that to stay in the wooded area would seal her death sentence. So with agonizing effort, Molly crawled back towards the main road to summon help. 2 hours later, she had painstakingly inched her way back to the edge of the highway. She laid there, lifting her body up to wave whenever she saw headlights coming in her direction. She knew someone would eventually have to see her and stop and help. Finally, the headlights slowed down, blurry in sight. Molly could not see the vehicle. She just knew that it was the only ticket to survival. Someone picked her up. Then a voice she had heard before said, "Guess she's stronger than we thought. Let's take her back to the woods and finish her off. We don't want her talking to anyone about our little visit tonight, do we?" The truck gunned its engine and raced off again. An unimaginable horror began to unfold. The sickening irony. The same two perverted men had spotted Molly's lifeless, determined, and angry face. They wanted to make sure that she never saw another sunrise. Once again, the two animals satisfied themselves. By the time their truck sped away from her body the second time, her body and her spirit were horrendous. Hours passed. Two frantic parents could get no response from their daughter's cell. State troopers were called and found her deserted car along the side of the highway. A desperate search began in the darkness, knowing that they were working against the clock. Around 4 a.m., Molly's mutilated body was found, unconscious and narrowly clinging to life. She was rushed to a nearby intensive care unit. 3 days later, our young heroine opened her eyes for the first time in the hospital. She survived. She overheard the doctor speaking in hushed tones to her parents in the corner of the room. "Molly's going to need counseling," he explained to them. "She survived the trauma of the rapes physically, but it will take years for her to be able to recover from the emotional trauma of what those men did to her. I'll send a psychologist in to see her as soon as she's up to talking." Then she slowly began the long road back to emotional wellness. Molly shut her eyes again, but this time she prayed, "Lord, I need your help." She whispered it through parched lips. Tubes were going in and out of every direction. And before falling back asleep, she asked the help of the master physician. He should understand. After all, brutal people beat him and hung him, his body, without cause. 5 words later, she ended her prayer, "Lord, I need your help." 4 days later, a counselor sensitively entered the intensive care room where Molly was slowly recovering. The doctor struggled for words. She had heard of the brutality of the crime and knew the long road ahead for the girl emotionally. "They've caught the two men that did this to you," she whispered softly. "I know you must hate them. Everyone would. Are you ready to talk about it? Are you ready to talk?" Our heroine still struggled for strength, spoke slowly, and asked, "They've caught the two guys who raped me?" "Yes," the doctor answered firmly, "and they'll get the jail time that they deserve. But for your own emotional healing, I'd like to help you deal with your feelings towards those two monsters. I know that sounds crazy now, but I promise you it will only be for your own well-being. Left unchecked, the bitterness and resentment will eat you alive inside." Molly reached out her hand slowly to the struggling doctor. "I know," she whispered. "You don't have to explain." The doctor was confused and said, "Pardon?" Silence filled the intensive care unit. The beeps of the hospital monitor seemed to echo off the walls, and our college friend struggled to speak again. She said, I'm a Christian. She whispered slowly, "I know the power of forgiveness." The room froze for a moment. Sometimes a human choice is so inhuman that all of heaven seems to freeze and take notice. Molly slowly spoke and finished her statement to the doctor and said, "You see, I let those two men rob me of one night of my life. I don't intend to give them any more." some of you have let your pain steal your life, steal your relationships, because you can't let go. Today, God looks at us and says, it's time to let go. It's time to give it up. Let me have that. Because that's what I died for. That's what I came for. Listen to me, church. Realize that you're never going to forget your past. You don't have to forget the pain and the hurt, especially from those that you love. But understand that forgiving others does not justify or excuse what was done to you. Just like the fact that she forgave those two men did not justify what they had done. But what it did was it freed her to live the rest of her life guilt-free and without the chains and bondage of bitterness in her life. Know that forgiveness is for you and not for them. It is your spiritual life that is affected by unforgiveness, not anyone else's. If you would stand with me today. Father God, I have presented your word the best way that I know how. I know that I am fallible and I'm one, Lord, that I stutter and I make mistakes and I may not have said things perfectly, but God, your spirit is in this room and you're speaking to lives right now that are dealing with bitterness from their past and things that were said to them, the names that were called to them, things that were done to them that nobody else knows and no one else understands. And God, they've even been saying lately that it's eating them up inside, the pain and the hurt from their past and from what was done to them. And they can't believe that they have to live with this the rest of their life. God, today, help them to understand that forgiveness brings freedom. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, every eye closed. If I'm not speaking to you, if you are not dealing with your past, if you're not dealing with pain, if you're not dealing with unforgiveness, then right now I'm going to ask you to start praying in the Spirit over these people that are. That God would stir their hearts, because bitterness is something that does not come up easy. It's something that has to be pulled out by the roots, and it's painful. And people recoil from it. Because it's so painful. So if you're not dealing with bitterness in your own personal life, then start praying over the people on the right and the left over you, or left of you. But if I am speaking to you today, God knew you were going to be here. He knew you had to hear this message. He knew the situation that you are living in. He knew the pain that you have dealt with for years. He knew the pain and the situation that you have dealt with, and He said, it's time to put it in my hands. It's time to let go of the weapon that you've used to wield against other people. It's time to stop bleeding on people that didn't cut you. If you're in this room today and you need to let go of bitterness from your past, if you're online today and you need to let go of bitterness from your past and let go of hurts from your past and to walk away from it, if that's you today, right now, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to come up front and I'm going to ask you to say, God, rip it out. God, rip it out. Come on. If you see someone up here that needs somebody to pray with them right now, I invite you to come. Those of you that are not dealing with bitterness, those of you that are not dealing with the hurt, right now you might need to come down here and lay hands on some of these, because you've been through what they're dealing with. Father God, deal with us today. Deal with us about the pain. Deal with us about the hurt. Open up our past, God. Right now, Lord, I pray for a healing. I pray for a healing, God. I pray for a healing, Lord, of letting go of the past, letting go of what used to happen. What used to happen, God, is no longer controlling us. In Jesus' name, Lord, send your healing on our heart. Send your healing on our hearts today, God. Rip out the bitterness and the hurt. Lord, I know we're not going to forget the hurt, but God, remind us that you are the one that heals the hurt. In Jesus' name, Lord.